The next item on the agenda is the Urbana Harbor.
Nope.
I'm sorry, Luther Carter, number 8, on the agenda 07-2673.
You're welcome to skip over me if you'd like.
I don't think the people involved in this would like that.
No, probably not. Okay, this is Luther Carter, commission review on appeal by 39 freeholders of the February 28, 2008 decision of Accomack County Wetlands Board to grant after the fact approval for the installation of a 10-foot long stone riprap revetment marsh toe and a 96-foot long stone splash apron that was installed landward of an existing marsh toe bulkhead adjacent to Mr. Carter's property along Chincoteague Bay in the town of Chincoteague, Accomack County. The first four photos are for orientation purposes, and I'd like to continue if it's all right with the commission.
Please.
Thank you. Quad sheet showing the location of the project on the north end of Chincoteague Island, Chincoteague Bay. There's a fairly large SAV area, or there was in this general area out here. Causeway, Atlantic Ocean. Just north of this subdivision is Wildcat, which is fish and wildlife property. Now we're looking southwest down Chincoteague Island. The arrow is the location of Mr. Carter's property. As you can see, there's a large expanse of marsh in front of most of these properties, and the escarpment on the marsh toe is approximately 18 inches. Again, circled is Mr. Carter's house. To his left is Mrs. Sandy, and to the right is Mr. Halligan. And you can see the existing permitted bulkhead right here. I apologize for it being a little out of focus, but again, Carter, Halligan, Sandy, bulkhead, and the rest of this is from the public hearing itself. This is an Accomack County GIS 2002 showing the escarpment prior to any armament along the shoreline. Since then, both Sandy has put marsh toe riprap on her front, and of course the bulkhead across Mr. Carter's. This is the after the fact, or the stone that was placed behind the permitted bulkhead. We believe it was probably placed shortly after the bulkhead was installed. The bulkhead was installed probably in 2004, maybe early 2005. It appears to go all the way back to the return wall in this corner, which is 10 feet, and then levels out to approximately 4 feet, the 5 feet in this general area at the time. This photo was taken in June of last year, showing the low-profile bulkhead, and the bulkhead was permitted by the Wetlands Board in 2003. Again, and you can see the riprap along here. Because of the wave action over the bulkhead, Mr. Carter chose to fill the area with small riprap. This was done without a permit, and the board considered it a violation. As you can see, wave action is splashing across it. He was having a hard time getting anything to sprig and vegetation right up against the bulkhead itself. He has worked with the county through time trying to reduce the width of this. As you can see, it's no longer 4 feet. It's down to about 2 feet, and he has sprigged behind it. However, he could not continue to sprig. It was just getting wave downward force action behind it, and he felt like he needed to have some stone here. As I said, the Wetlands Board staff had worked with him to revegetate these areas, and you can see some sprigging and some vegetation where he's cut back on the size. This is just some more aerials. This is showing a shell ramp to the side that went through the vegetated wetlands. This was not permitted, and this was put in probably 2002 or before. Again, the vegetated wetlands back here and the splash apron. Here's the after-the-fact application showing the permitted bulkhead. And what is requested to be kept is the 18 inches of stone directly behind the bulkhead and the 10 feet of riprap. This riprap was part of the Sandy project, and they thought the property line was in this general area here, and they just went all the way to the bulkhead. So the after the fact does include this portion over here also. This was some photographs from Mr. Carter right before the Wetlands Board's hearing in February. These pieces of PVC are 18 inches, and he has pulled everything back to within 18 inches as his application was as it was submitted. Again, I'm going to leave this one up. This is just showing the bulkhead itself. So basically, this after-the-fact application does not deal with the bulkhead itself. It's only dealing with the splash apron, which is 18 inches back here, and the 10-foot of tow riprap here. Nothing else. I'll leave this up here. And for the record, back in October of this year, or excuse me, of 07, the board evaluated the for compliance the channelward encroachment of the bulkhead, and found that it and determined that the bulkhead was in moderate compliance, and no further action was taken by the board regarding this aspect of the project. On February 28th of this year, Accomack County held a public hearing on Mr. Carter's after-the-fact application. Mr. Carter was represented by his agent, Mrs. Ellen Grimes. During the hearing, the board considered a letter from VIMS written by Todd Herbert, Accomack County staff, and the testimony provided by Mrs. Grimes. Mr. James Freeze spoke in opposition to the project and provided additional testimony along with an exhibit package, which is part of your packet. The VIMS report stated that the preferred approach would be to remove the bulkhead and splash apron and install a marsh tow revetment placed in front of the vegetated marsh tow. They also stated that if the applicant desires to retain the permitted bulkhead and unauthorized splash apron, it would be a less desirable approach and would require wetlands mitigation or compensation. Mr. Freeze said that the proposed height of the splash apron would violate the Army Corps of Engineers permit. The Army Corps engineer's permit required it to be flush with the top of the bulkhead. However, when you're dealing with permits, the most stringent of the permits would take precedence over it. So it doesn't really matter if the Wetlands Board said 8 inches or 2 inches or whatever. He also continued to discuss at length the already permitted low-profile marsh tow bulkhead until board chairman Jack Bonnewell asked Mr. Freeze to address the current project before the board. Mr. Freeze emphasized his position that the original permitted marsh tow bulkhead was constructed in violation, and therefore by approving the splash apron, the board would be escalating any existing violation to the original permit. The board felt that the permitted low-profile bulkhead was in moderate compliance and saw no need to reopen this issue. They discussed the need for the splash apron, saw photos of the water splashing over the bulkhead at high water, and they felt that the stone apron would provide some protection from the down-cutting forces behind the bulkhead. They also felt that the removal of the already constructed permitted bulkhead as permitted by VIMS was not appropriate in this case. The board then discussed an on-site and off-site mitigation and came to the conclusion that there was no opportunity for Mr. Carter on Mr. Carter's property or nearby for mitigation. Then they discussed the use of the in lieu of fee. The board used the length of the bulkhead, which was 96 feet times the width, 1.5, came up with 144 square feet at $12 per square foot for a total in lieu fee of $1,728. At that time, C. Lee Davis, who is a board member, made a motion to approve the application with the following stipulations. One, the applicant maintained the 1.5 foot of stone at all times. They were concerned that it would wash back and take up more than the 1.5 feet, and that the height of the stone be no more than 8 inches above the existing bulkhead. Two, that the shell path goes out to the bulkhead from Mr. Carter's property across the marsh be removed and planted with spartina, and this was supposed to be maintained until the fall. And that an in lieu fee of $1,728 be included as part of the permit approval, and the motion was approved 4-0. On March 10th of this year, we received a letter and petition from Mr. James Freeze on behalf of 39 freeholders. As such, it appears that the appeal is being considered timely. Mr. Freeze indicated that the board did not fulfill its obligation to preserve wetlands within the jurisdiction or necessary economic development in a manner consistent with the wetlands preservation. He also stated that the board action in this case to be unequal treatment and inconsistent with the treatment of other petitioners. I'm not real sure what that meant, but I'm sure Mr. Freeze will elaborate. He has also indicated that the 8-foot wide gravel pathway through the vegetation on Mr. Carter's property was not authorized by the Wetlands Board, and that the southern 6 feet of the property is on the adjacent property, Mr. Halligan's. Mr. Freeze also states that the the southern 6 feet of the splash apron is on the adjacent property. That may or may not be true. That property line has not been established by a surveyor, only by Mr. Freeze, and the adjacent property owner has not indicated that the splash apron or the bulkhead is on him. In our summary and recommendation, Section 28.2.1301B of the Code, Powers and Duties of the Commonwealth, states that the Commission shall preserve and prevent the destruction of wetlands while accommodating necessary economic development in a manner consistent with wetlands preservation. Based on the review of the record transmitted by the board and our attendance at the hearing, staff believes that the decision to approve the after-the-fact installation of a stone riprap marsh toe revetment in the stone splash apron for the subject application is supported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole. In reaching this decision to approve the stone marsh toe revetment and the stone marsh apron, the board weighed the potential for public and private detriment against the potential for private benefit as required by 28.2.1202.10b of the code. The board found that the on-site erosion warranted protection for the applicant's property and used the county's new in lieu of fee account to compensate for the loss of vegetated wetlands after considering on-site and off-site mitigation. Accordingly, we recommend approval, or recommend that the February 28, 2008 decision of the Accomack County Wetlands Board be upheld.
Any questions of Mr. Badger?
I got a couple.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bowden.
Hank, when we went on site and did measurements and stuff, will you go back to the picture that shows the road, please?
You go about the stone walkway?
Go forward one time. Yep.
Oh, the other way?
Go back now. Stop right.
Did I go past?
The one with the road, okay.
Okay.
When you and I made the on-site visit, the road didn't extend all the way to the bulkhead. We measured it, I believe, it was 4 or 5 foot from the bulkhead. So that's been an addition since we were there. And it, when we went, it was stone. Now you say it's shell.
Well, it may be stone.
I mean,
I just used shell. I thought it was.
We discussed it when we went there that day about it being stone and something we would never permit.
Right, and it's been removed.
But it ended before that when we measured it. I do remember measuring it, and it ended it probably 4 foot before we got to the bulkhead. So there's been some addition.
It
may be shell now on top.
It might be.
But I mean, it's been ordered to be removed.
It's all been removed, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the main question that I have. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bowden. Further question? 39 freeholders?
39 freeholders.
What's the approximate location of their?
Chincoteague. On the island of Chincoteague.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you. Is the appellant here represented? Yes, sir. Forward. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I certainly do.
You state your name, please. And
Jim Freeze.
Yes, sir.
Chincoteague, Virginia. I'm the appellant. Before I lose this track of thought, my friend Hank there said that no surveys were made of the property lines, and that gentleman is not true. If you look at 4-59, you will see a picture of the surveyor's assistant holding a rod out from the bulkhead, which he's standing on, to the property line, and it says 10.5 feet.
Okay.
So that the north boundary line is 10.5 feet north of the bulkhead. Mm-hmm. Now, Hank said that the measures the full length of the bulkhead is 96 feet, and that's true. I measured 97, but I won't argue over a foot.
Okay.
That, if you add the 10.5 feet to 96 feet coming across there on a 100-foot lot, it means that south end of that bulkhead and wing wall has to be on the next-door neighbor's property. And the walkway or road or whatever you want to call it that Mr. Bowden was referring to was put in sometime between 2000 and 2003. I don't know when. There was testimony that it was put in before the pier. That's patently false. It was not put in before the pier. Proof of that is, if you want to see that, I don't know what the number is on your I'll get it here in a minute. My exhibit 2-1, which is, and I just got this thing after I got here, so I'm not sure exactly where it is. Well, I can't find it there. It's a drawing that was submitted for the pier, and it was a drawing made by Ms. Grimes, who has been representing Mr. Carter, and it was a drawing that was made in December of 1999. It was submitted as part of an application for a pier by Mrs. Grimes in behalf of Mr. Carter. And that was received by the Marine Resources Commission on January 10th, 2000. This is it here. Now, this was not heard by the Wetlands Board because it was just a private pier and it was issued under a general permit. But it says, her drawing, her dimensions, the pier width coming out from the property at 4 feet wide, and the property line to the north is 48 feet. The property line to the south is 48 feet. If you want this, I'd be happy to give it. It's in your package, but I just don't know where. The disturbing thing of that, and you mentioned it in this previous case here, about things that are done in the night, so to speak. I would like to point out that that roadway, which is, I know, over 40 feet long and 8 feet wide before the addition, that late addition, that was put in there, as I say, between 2000. It was not there in 2000, and it was there in 2003, and that was unpermitted. The if I may show you here, the original marsh toe was here and went around like this. What you see here is where that was when this was built. The north side, this is the end of the north side. This was back 15 feet. There is a stob still in the ground, or at least it was the last time I was on the property. That was 15 feet by measurement back from the bulkhead. Hank, can you get that aerial picture there? This is the Sandé property to the north. You can see where on the south side of her pier, her rock revetment there, right here, you can see goes out approximately 8 feet.
Okay.
That followed the natural curvature of the marsh. It went down here, and it ended here, but the marsh went back out here, swung around here 15 feet, came back out, and right about there, which is one pile set in. The pictures, the southern part of this bulkhead, right here, was originally placed approximately 8 feet in. The owner directed the people that were working on the job to remove it and move it out 8 feet. The pier here, the marsh here, continued here and then went back around here like this. As close as I can get, I'm a little shaky with this thing, but you can still see some of the unvegetated land.
Do you live in proximity to this area?
Yes, sir. I live about 3 miles away.
3 miles?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've taken over 250 pictures of this over.
I'm just trying to orientate.
Yeah. Yeah. This is on the northwest side of the island. This is that stone walkway. He calls it a shell pier, a shell walk. That was there. But the interesting thing is, and I don't think I have the picture, but showing where the mud flat was up in here, up in this area, they turned it, and instead of this bulkhead going back this way, they brought it out toward the channel. And it's now out past where Mrs. Sanday put her rock revetment. Hers is a beautiful job. It's perfect. Hers is no higher than his, and it's been working. Now, getting down to this, there's been a lot of discussion back and forth. We have 40 stakeholders appealed this in November after the vote, and for whatever reason, they refused to hear it because they felt that it was questioning an action of the Wetlands Board. That is what do you call it when you smack somebody's hands? You know. Anyhow. They didn't hear it. You all didn't hear it. Then they came forth, and they have this application here now. And what they're trying to do with this application is to give credence to what went before, which was wrong. And it's still wrong. It's still 6 feet on the other man's property. And the Corps of Engineers specifically said that they could not go above the bulkhead. And that was pointed out to the Wetlands Board, and the Wetlands Board ignored it. Well, they didn't ignore it. Right before the vote was taken, the chairman mentioned that, well, yes, it does violate that, but it's for the betterment. It's for the good, so we'll let it go. And the other thing is that the original permit where he worked under stated specifically in there that any deviation from that permit was a misdemeanor, and yet it's been swept under the table, and that's the objection. So we've created uplands now, what it boils down to, and that's wrong. The other thing is they have agreed, or Mr. Carter has now agreed, for some reason, which I'm not privy to remove that. But again, he's telling the BMRC and the Wetlands Board how he's going to do it. And the letters that he wrote, all these letters, are in there. And he's telling them what he's going to do. And that's been the way it has been, this thing, from day one. And that's just the history on it, but I object to this. And okay. Anyhow, I'm free to answer any questions that anybody may have.
Any questions of Mr. Fries? Mr. Tankard?
I'm looking at the freeholders here just as a reference for me as well. I'm not that familiar with Shingatuga, but I don't see anybody that's even close to this if what I'm my geography is that's even close to this. Is that correct?
Well, the whole island's only 7.5 miles long and 2 miles wide.
Right.
So anybody that lives on the island is pretty close.
Well, close as in 200, 300, 400 yards.
Oh, of course. But I believe the law says any freeholders of Virginia. Does it not?
It sure does. I think what Mr. Tanker's saying, he's trying to just, we like to get all the facts and try to, as we make our own individual determinations as to what we're dealing with.
Sure.
Continue, Mr. Tanker.
In this wildcat neighborhood, no freeholders?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Well, there aren't many people in there. I mean, you can see how far it is between the houses.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Freeze.
Thank you.
Is the Wetlands Board represented?
I don't know.
They are not.
They are not.
Carter.
Mr. Carter?
Thank you.
He is not.
Mr. Badger, he is. I mean, matters before the commission for discussion or action.
I'll start off the discussion because I have been on site. I am kind of disappointed that nobody from Wetlands Board's here. That's not saying a lot for Accomack County. They just figured this is a done deal.
Hey, he works for me. He doesn't work for them.
I know he does. Please. That's what I'm saying.
Don't ask him to answer that either.
Okay, really we want it.
Thank you. Sit down, Hank. Next question.
You didn't like Daniel?
Honorable Associate, Mr. Bowson.
All right. Looking over the minutes and being familiar with the site, because we did go up and look it over. I think there's a lot of peculiarities in the minutes. Right in the beginning, somebody wants to make a motion before there's any public comment, more or less sounding like an advocate for the project, which, you know, if it was a close vote, I could see that would be a problem, but it certainly wasn't a close vote. So I look at after the fact permit. Is it something that we would approve? Maybe, maybe not. I can't give a definitive answer. Vim was opposed to it, but it may be something. We have to really adhere to the standard. Would somebody, a reasonable person, come to the same conclusion, not necessarily the one that I would come to? And I believe a reasonable person could come to that conclusion, even though I may not agree with it. One thing is definite. We would have never allowed a stone road across the marsh. I don't think that would ever come through here. I remember one case years ago where a man wanted to make a road across a piece of marsh that he owned a large piece of property on the outside. And we really scrutinized that very heavily.
It was a bridge, wasn't it?
A small bridge and a roadway across the marsh, and he actually owned a substantial amount of land. And we really did scrutinize it. So in a case like this, to make a stone road to launch a canoe or a kayak would certainly not be a proper use of wetland. So this is what we get into. They've ordered removal. We would order removal. We probably would assess the civil penalty. They didn't. So that would, sadly to say, that would be substituting my judgment for their judgment. I really do believe there should have been a civil penalty administered on it. I don't think it was it, Mr. Badger?
There was not. And in most cases, I don't believe Accomack has done that. As a rule, they don't. If they can get it back to the way it was, they don't.
You know, honestly, if it's over the line, that could be an honest mistake. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but we're in the realm of what reasonable people would think. Now, that could have been an honest mistake over the line. We know the roadway definitely wasn't an honest mistake. That was an attempt to make an improvement on his property for his own personal use or the people he rents the property to. I can see no reversible error into it. You know, I don't like after-the-fact permits. I've got caught. What can I get away with? Basically how I look at after-the-fact permit. And when Hank and I measured the stone, it was considerably more than 18 inches. They have settled on 18 inches and ordered him to remove it. They've also put into the permit a requirement that he has to maintain it so there's not washback. And I don't know who would supervise that over the years to make sure that's happening, but it is part of the permit. And as much as I feel like a lot of things were done unusual in this permit process, I really can't see reversible error in it. So, just, you know, I think that's basically what we're called for, because I don't think we could really ask to remand it back for civil penalty, because that's their judgment and they were allowed to make that judgment. So, and I really hate to speak out like this, because, you know, I feel like our hands is tied and this is what we're supposed to abide by. So that's the way I feel, the way I do.
Is that in the form of a motion?
I guess it would be in the form of a motion.
To uphold the Wetlands Board's decision.
To uphold the Wetlands Board's
decision. Second to the motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. McCluskey. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda, Urbana Harbor Yacht Club Association 07-1620. After this case, we'll be breaking for lunch, and I'll be able to give you a time. We'll be back. It'll be 45 minutes after it concludes. Okay. Hi, Kurt.